The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and we are here with Margaret Cho. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I met you a couple of weeks ago at one of the benefits at the Hotel Cafe, and we had such a good time with Lucia, your puppy.
Yes, she loves you.
And steals the show wherever she goes.
Always.
You know, obviously we're going to talk about this record that you just put out, but I was looking at some of your stuff this morning. I'm aware of a lot of the stuff you've done, you know, your TV show, your original TV show, and all the other TV you've done, amazing stuff, and stand-up, and burlesque, and you have done so much stuff. And I'm just wondering, is that because you just have to keep working and whatever gigs are around, or is it a lot to do with you want to try everything?
I want to try everything, but also I have to keep working.
Yeah.
You want to do it all and just see what makes sense and what makes money and what is, for me, a good time. Also, like, when you get to do things like, I did a music podcast for a long time, you get free tickets,
mm-hmm.
get to meet people, get to hang out, get to go do stuff, like get access to different things. At least in when I was doing like a music podcast, which was in, you know, early 2010, 11, 12, you could really get access because people didn't have a million podcasts. We didn't have podcasts like we do now.
Right.
So it's very different.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about working in the job that I have is that I can usually get tickets to things, not all the time, but a lot of the time. It is one of the benefits of being in this business. And you know, let's talk a little bit about music, because I know it's been a big part of your life. And this record, we should just hold it up here, just came out, but it's not your first, it's your third.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background with music and the music that you heard when you were growing up. And when did you know you actually wanted to make music yourself?
Well, I come from a very musical family, and my parents are both singers and they play music. My dad's a pianist and my mom's a guitarist, and they both sing. And so there was music in our house always. And so that was something that was very big in my life. Like, not even like comedy was that big. Like, I started music first, you know, and I was playing really early. Like, I was performing as a musician at like 7-8 years old, and
oh, wow.
It was like so terrifying to play like concerts. It was like so scary, these recitals. It was like terrifying. I think I like got over my stage fright as a young child. So later when I went to go be a comedian, it wasn't as bad. But I wanted to make music in my adult life. Like, I kind of like let it all go to do stand-up comedy and be an actor, but I came back to it around 2008, so I just had been hanging out with musicians all the time,
right.
And seeing people around, and you know, I was at Largo all the time and spending a lot of time at like John Bryan's shows, which,
right.
You know, just to absorb his musical knowledge and his musicianship for years, like since the 90s, I was like, I wanna do this, I wanna see what this is like.
And for people outside of LA, we should point out that Largo is a club in LA. It's actually moved locations since probably when you were talking about it.
Yes.
And John Bryan used to host a Friday night there where you never knew who was going to show up.
Yeah. It could be Elvis Costello. It could be Rufus Wainwright, who he was working with in the studio on his record. And like people who he was just working with, whoever that was.
Right.
It could be Fiona Apple. It could be Amy Mann. But all of the musicians that I really love were playing there, and Elliot Smith would be there all the time. So I just absorbed all of that.
So when you made I Cho Am a Woman, Desmond Child produced it, right?
Oh, it's so hard to work with Desmond. Desmond will make you do so many takes. Like, it's so hard. Like, he is the most exacting producer. I mean, you can see why his records are so brilliant,
right.
You know, because he demands so much of you. Like, I go in the studio now and I demand so little of myself compared to some of the people I've worked with, like Desmond Child or even John Bryan. John
right.
Bryan, on my first record, he produced a track and I played guitar and sang. And I mean, we did so many takes. It's just a different level. Those guys are just amazing.
So when you're writing for stand-up or for comedy, how different is that from sitting down and trying to write a song?
It's actually kind of similar. Like, it's you jokes and songs will come to you fully formed, and you just have to have the insight to write it down and record it, or else it's gone.
Right.
You know, so I, at least with jokes, it's a little easier to remember because I'm more used to thinking, oh, I've got to make a note of that and doing it. But with music, I actually have two parts. It's the melody and the lyric, and they kind of come at different times, and you've got to capture it. But it's kind of like you're just a channel for it. It's never like I've invented these things. It's just things coming through.
Right. So first album, 2010, Show Dependent. Great title. And then the second one, you waited a little while, 2016, I think, for the next one.
Yeah.
What was going on in between those years? Lots of other work, I guess.
Lots of stand-up comedy, lots of acting. I was working on a series in Atlanta, so I was there for a long time. And, you know, kind of just doing life. So music, in terms of putting out records, is not my... like part of my average workflow. Like,
right.
Every day I'm kind of like, oh, I've got to do stand-up comedy and travel somewhere to do it, and or have an acting job and, you know, travel somewhere to do it. And then the music will come in between. But I do tend to make music often.
So second album, American Myth. And that's a bit of a chunk of time in between the new album, which, as we said, we got it right here. 9 years in between records.
Yes.
Did you know you would make another record? You were just too busy doing other stuff?
Yeah, I knew I would make another record. Usually when I'm done with one record, I still have a couple of things left over, so I have sourdough starter for the next record.
Okay.
So it's like baking another loaf of bread.
I love that.
And I have like these songs that I want to like create, and it'll make a record. And so it's just like trying to figure out where it actually will bake.
So you pulled in a couple of friends to help out on this one, and the session that you just did with us. It's Eric Curtis and Garrison Starr.
Yes.
How did this record come about?
Well, I always work with Garrison. Garrison and I worked on my first record. Garrison, I always will work with her. Garrison is my, like we were talking about Dylan, they're like my band, the band. She is like my Robbie Robertson. She
right.
is my band. So I am so indebted to her. She did such a beautiful job with production on all three of my records.
Right.
But this one, she did the majority of the production on, and Eric did the mastering. And the others they're sort of broken up to like from piano to guitar. So Garrison does the guitar, and then the piano side is songs that I wrote with Roger Rocha from Four Non Blondes. And he's just amazing too. So I got a lot of help making the record.
Are you going to do live dates around this record?
Yes. So I'm doing one at the Grammy Museum on April 1st, which is really exciting. And I just did one at Largo last week. It's a little rarer. Like, I mostly do stand-up comedy shows, and now I'm like, well, I'm sprinkling in music shows in there.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know how to bring it together. You ideally want it. Bring it all together like a big review.
Right.
So that's sort of coming. I don't know what that'll look like.
So when you're talking about mixing performance of music along with comedy?
With comedy,
right.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see what that actually entails.
I know when I was growing up, there were a couple of comedians that I loved in the UK who started off as musicians who started telling jokes in between their songs. Like Billy Connolly, I think, is probably...
Humble Bums.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the Humble Bums.
Yeah. And did you start telling jokes in your music when you were sort of doing music first? Is that what led to comedy, or are they completely different?
No. It was different because I was doing music in like school setting and like these recitals for school and like very like serious like classical music concerts, which are very, you don't even talk.
Yeah.
Like, so it was very odd to even think about. You wouldn't even have a microphone to talk to sing.
Right.
So nothing like that.
And not a lot of room for edgy comedy as a teenager.
No, certainly not. So it was a great relief to go and do comedy where you could just be like crazy.
Right.
But now, like, where is the line where we could sort of do it a little bit together?
So if you could do, in a perfect world, if you were able to get the right people together and put together, I don't know, maybe a week somewhere or a couple of dates in different places, what would a review, a Margaret Cho review, look like?
Well, I think it would be like, you know, you sort of welcome everybody, do some comedy. Maybe Lucia could jump through a hoop or two. You know, just like a little bit of like, do like all of her little tricks.
Don't set it on fire though, right?
No, nothing like that. But we could do like a little tango number, do a little dance. Right. And then I would do a little stand-up comedy, and then we would have a rock and roll show.
Sounds fantastic. I want to go see that
show.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Put it together.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in and performing for us.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the record. It's called Lucky Gift.
Thank you.
And right here at the SoCal Sound, we're playing the single. And man, so good to meet you just a couple of weeks ago, and I already feel like I know you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. Lucia, hi, baby.
Stevie, carry me to the moment. Is it here or have I blown it? Is it missing? Can you loan it? Is the blankness an atonement? Stevie. it's worth all that may be assigned at birth. Stuck in something that must be cursed, it's destiny in reverse. We all wish for a better life, try to make it to morning light, fighting battles for what is right.
Thank you.
do. You won't, but you might. The potential will be that you'll never see. The promises you'll only make. Drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say and I'll make you okay. I'll drive them away. The images stuck in your head. People you've been before that you don't want around anymore. They push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still. Drink up, baby. Look at the stars. A kiss you again between the bars, and I'm seeing you there with your hands in the air, waiting to finally pick up. Drink up one more time, and I'll make you mine, keep you apart, deep in my heart, separate from the rest, where I like you best. I keep the thing. People you've been before that you don't want around anymore. They push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.